The Blessed Virgin Mary and St. John had a very special relationship. I'd like to talk about that today. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you.
You got to do that.
You know, one of the mistakes we often make is rushing into the day and not taking time to pray, not casting our cares and our worries upon the Lord. I want to share with you a poem that makes that point powerfully. I got up early one morning and I rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbling about me and heavier came each task. I wonder why God didn't help me. He said, "You didn't ask." I want to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wonder why God didn't show me. He said, "You didn't seek." I wanted to come into God's presence. I tried all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided it. "My child, you didn't knock." So I got up early this morning, and I paused before I entered the day. I had so much to accomplish, I had to take time to pray. So very true. Remember, you got to cast your cares upon the Lord. You got to say, "Here, Lord, I'm handing it over to you because I don't think I can handle them by myself. I know I can't handle them by myself. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed right now. I'm feeling like I don't know where to turn. I'm kind of at the end of my ropes. I'm dropping them into your hands." What a safe place to put your worries and concerns. Today's scripture passage comes from John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 25, 26, and 27. John writes, "Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene were with Mary, the mother of Jesus. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, the disciple took her into his home." End of the scripture passage. That's a tender moment, isn't it? There he is in the midst of all his suffering, still caring about people, caring about his mother, caring about his beloved disciple, making sure that they will take care of each other. I think St. John and Mary had a very special relationship. I had the opportunity once, I was touring Greece, and we stopped just on the tip of the southern tip of Turkey. And we went to the ruins of Ephesus. At one time, Ephesus was one of the most powerful, powerful cities in the Roman Empire. And outside this large archaeological site, filled with marble streets and incredible ruins, not far from there, is a place called Mary's House. And tradition says that in her later years, St. John took Mary to stay there, that she passed the rest of her days on earth there, and that it was from this place, from Mary's house, that Mary was assumed into heaven. You know, it's the Catholic teaching that one of the privileges, and there were a number given to her, one of the privileges that God gave Mary was not to have to undergo decay, the decay of the human body that occurs with death. The other privilege that we believe is that Mary was conceived without sin. That God gave her the privilege. It was kind of a gift given ahead of time to Mary, even before Jesus died and rose from the dead to save us. But because she was going to be the new tabernacle, the new Ark of the Covenant, because she was going to bear in her womb the Son of God, that she was going to be kept free from the results of original sin. And so she was conceived without sin. And for some people, they have a difficult time believing that these two gifts would be given to Mary. I don't have that problem. And I hope those of you listening to my program don't have that problem either. Why would you have a difficulty believing that special gifts would be given to the woman who said yes to bringing our Savior into the world? And why would you be surprised, and I'm not saying you are, but why would anybody be surprised that Jesus, hanging on the cross in the midst of his suffering and his agony, would hand over his mother to be cared for by his beloved disciple John? I can appreciate that because I had a very unique relationship with my mother in the final years of her life. I had the privilege, and I really do consider it a privilege, of taking care of her the last 4 years of her life through a lot of sickness and dying. Living with her, taking care of her around the clock for 11 hours. And then when I couldn't lift her anymore, I put her in the nursing home and then went to the nursing home for another 11 months, every day but one, to spend some time with her in the afternoon. I'd preach in the morning somewhere around Pittsburgh, drive out to the nursing home, and get back in time to preach in the evening. You know, mothers are precious. Good mothers do so much to nurture their child physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So I can see how Jesus, in great gratitude for his mother's yes, and for the care that she gave him all the way up. I mean, Jesus may have stayed at home until he started his public ministry, and St. Luke says he began his public ministry around the age of 30. We don't know when his foster father Joseph died, so if somewhere in those first 30 years Joseph died, he did become the main breadwinner for him and for his mother. They had a long relationship before he began his active ministry and then his final act of heroic suffering to save us from our sins. Out of that love, you can see why he would want his mother to be taken care of. And when I did visit at Mary's house in Ephesus, it was a very tranquil place. I remember we were able to have Mass on the outside altar, and I had a priest friend of mine, and I let him be the young priest at that time. Just a few years ordained, I allowed him to say the Mass, be the celebrant, principal celebrant, and preach. And to this day, he thanks me for letting him have that opportunity. It was a very, very tranquil moment. And we were on pilgrimage, and we had about, I think 44 of us were all together on this pilgrimage. And one of the women who had traveled with me before, who has a wonderful voice, she sang Ave Maria. Wow, it was so touching. You know, and so we do have these moments when we think about our mothers and care for our mothers and celebrate the wonderful things our mothers have done in our life. And those of you who are regular listeners to my program now know why I have dedicated this hospital that I have for the poor and sick down in Oaxaca, Mexico, why I named it after my mother, the Ana Sitar Hospital. It's my way of paying tribute to my mother, who was such a blessing in my life. You know, you can never thank a good mother enough. And unfortunately, too many people take their mother for granted. Don't do that, okay? Whether she's living or deceased, really offer a prayer of thanksgiving and ask God to bless her. Our prayer partners are recreational therapists. These are the people who often are in nursing homes, and nursing homes are not the easiest place to be, even the best of them. And I had my mother in a very, very good nursing home. And they had wonderful programs, and those programs help, you know, help you distract yourself from the pain, help you interact with other people as your life gets real small, and your circle of relationships are so small because a lot of your loved ones have passed away already. Recreational therapists do a lot to ease the burden on people in nursing homes. Would you say a prayer for them? Ask God to bless them for their goodness. Today's food for thought comes from a woman named Marilyn Wilson. Listen to this. This is rather clever. The Lord gave you two ends, one for sitting and one for thinking. Your success depends on which you use. Heads, you win. Tails, you lose. I said that was clever. Small attempt to make you smile or laugh. True story. After earning my degree in broadcast journalism, I was fortunate to land a job as a disc jockey at a top-rated local radio station. One day before work, I stopped by my mother's house where my mother was chatting with some friends. She introduced me to everyone and proudly mentioned that I had my own radio show. How is it having a son who's a popular radio personality? Asked one of my mother's friends. It's wonderful, Mom replied with glee. For the first time in his life, I can turn him off whenever I please. Only a mother can get away with saying that stuff. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. You can let me know you listen to the program. I love hearing from my listeners. Let me know what you enjoy about it. You can react to my jokes if you like, or to the food for thought, or suggest somebody else that we could have as our prayer partner. Let me know if you have any prayer intentions that I can take to prayer, and I will faithfully do that. You can send me your address so I can send you my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. It's filled with great information. There's always inspiration and humor, and especially want to tell you that that's the only place you can get my preaching schedule in case you'd like to come and hear me preach in person, or say I'm near a relatives and friends and you'd like it to bring it to their attention. Certainly, if you can send me a check to help me keep my hospital for the poor and sick open, the Anacetar Hospital down in Oaxaca, Mexico, I'd appreciate that, and God will bless you for your generosity. You make the check to TASH, Tash, Inc., and send it to 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you use the Internet, visit my website. I think you'll enjoy it. FatherScott.com. Spell out Father. FatherScott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we have.